This is the audio recording for the Candia Board of Selectmen meeting for February 10th, 2025.
10th Select Board meeting. We have.
We're all set.
Good. And would you all join me as we pledge allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Russ.
Sue.
Boy.
Right. Thank you. Okay. We have public minutes and non-public for the 27th.
I move to accept the January 27th minutes as published.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Russ.
Sue.
Boy.
Brian.
Pat.
Perfect. And we have non-public too.
Nope.
I don't see him.
No.
We did have a non-public meeting.
Is that so?
Like, make but a motion
they're
to...
They're not here, so...
Yeah, the minutes aren't...
No, right. And we were...
They weren't, yeah.
Yeah.
You had a motion?
Yeah. Non-public meeting for January 27th.
Can I get a second?
Russ.
Second?
Sue. Oh, so I'll second.
Okay. Boyd.
Boyd.
Brian.
Patrick.
Thank you.
Oh, I
see. I weigh. How you doing, Jeff?
Good. How are you?
Do you get enough rest finally?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, plenty. Yeah, so for January, we did do a little bit of patching. The roads are getting a little bit beat up, but it's been way too cold for the patch. So we've done a little bit, but... You know, I'd like to do more. Hopefully, once we get to the end of this month, we'll start warming up a little bit more. We did truck winter stay in the stockpile. It's been a pretty busy winter so far, so we're definitely going to be trucking more. And then just last month, we had five spread runs, three probably storms. And that's pretty much it.
They deliver today, did they?
Salt?
Yeah.
I actually have to go down to the shed and look.
It didn't look like there was much in there.
There isn't.
No.
So I got like four orders on order.
Okay.
To refill. Because obviously it's been pretty busy and, you know, our shed gets depleted pretty quickly.
Yeah, it doesn't take long to empty it.
But we're going to be replenished. They've been really good this year, mostly because Severino's trucking for them this year, so it's nice. We get most of the time we'll get... like their take-home load.
Oh, nice.
You know, as they're coming back to the shop, they'll just take a load with them to the shed. Either us or Randy gets it, so.
Good. Anybody on the board got anything for Jeff?
Just needing a bigger shed would be beneficial.
Someday.
Well, no, I was just wondering, because we've got that land over there. If we put a shed up, would that be an advantage or not?
I don't know. I think we need to focus on
Okay,
but yeah, someday, definitely.
Wow.
That would be great. I mean, especially, you know, because you think about when that shed was built, you know, I would say over half of the developments in town weren't, you know, built.
Yeah.
And they didn't use salt like we do now.
Right.
You know, it was kind of like they might mix 10% in the sand, and that was about it. But it's a little bit different.
I didn't know if you bought in bigger quantities of it than it could.
Well, what do you mean? No, I mean, we get the same discount.
Oh,
we get a volume discount anyways from Morton's.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
No. That's just That's based good. On tonnage per year that we use.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Police.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
Did you guys get the,
yep.
the copy of this?
I read it, yeah.
A new way. Breaking this down for you.
Awesome.
So I'll show the personnel that we have right now, the five part-timers, the three certified full-timers, two non-certified full-timers. I figured I'd highlight our training that we've been doing on the next page, on that page. The portable speed sign we have back up and running.
I was just reading the highlight comment.
Yeah, don't shoot this one.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. If someone wants that on a road, contact our admin, McCarthy, and she'll try to get that set up so we can get it out there. We've been having it on Old Candia Road right now by the stop sign to kind of help bring some attention to that intersection as they're approaching it, right?
Yep.
It seems like it's been working. So there was a red flasher light that we had go on it. It would display the speed as people would drive, but I didn't have anybody flying through it at, like, you know, anything over really 35, 40. So it was picking it up by South Road, you know, as far as the
yep.
speed goes. That makes sense?
Yeah.
So I can put it back out there and try it again and kind of watch it. We can put it on the stop sign right below it, you know, with the flasher on there. But
I mean,
be able to tell if someone went whipping through and didn't stop.
Yeah. I mean, if it makes people kind of pick their head up and look at what's in front of them instead of
right.
that tiny little screen in the palm of their hand.
Yep.
Anything's good.
I broke down the monthly stats there. You can see we put in a nice pie chart. Christina helped me with that, getting that in order, so it kind of breaks down what we did for the right. month.
Well.
Which will be cool to do each month, and then we'll have a full year one at the end of the year to break that down. ACO calls, we had 12 incidents this month. We had 3 dog calls. The officer could not find animals, must have returned home. We had 2 wild animal calls we were called out for, and we recovered 2 dogs that were returned to the family. And we also had 2 loose mini horses. As you can see down the mentions the arrests, and then below that I figured I'd put a line in for equipment, shows where we're currently at with mileage. No major repairs done to the cruisers or anything like that, so they're all pretty good.
Good.
Is anything you'd like me to add to it or
it's
show
great.
On it?
Great details.
Yes.
Yeah, looks nice.
Yeah,
this works.
It's nice and easy reading.
Yeah.
If we have like something community related from the department, I'll put it on there, you know, that way kind of be like a little newsletter to you once a month.
Great.
Right.
And you kept the names out of the arrest records, too. You got some time.
Yes, innocent until proven guilty, right?
What's that? I like the
innocent until proven guilty, right?
That's right.
That's what they say.
All right.
Yeah.
Good job.
You're going to follow this format every month?
Yes.
Excellent.
Are we meeting afterwards, too, with you?
Yes, if you.
Yeah.
If you have time for me.
Yes, we will. Fire department. Exactly.
I have a report here from Chief Young. Regular truck and building maintenance for the month, EMS training and fire training. And on the incident report here, last month the EMS responded to 42 calls. The fire department responded to 25 for a total of 67 calls. And the response time was pretty good. It's about averages between the two, EMS and fire, average about 7 minutes.
Wow.
About the Hunter County Canyon. It gets better every month. And that's the summary of what you have to say.
Nice. Anybody have any questions for Boyd on the fire? Building.
Building department was four last month. We did 26 permits, 43 inspections, and 4 of them failed. The revenue for January was only $2,849, way lower than last year. We do have last year's totals. Last year's permits were 562 permits, 704 inspections, with 75 that failed. And the yearly revenue was $91,210.
Excellent. Good. Anybody on the board have any questions for the building department? All right. Solid waste. What's that? Is anybody in the public got any questions for the building department? No. I guess you're good.
Yeah. Thank you. For
thank you, Bob.
Yeah.
All set. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Solid waste.
Chuck.
I am not prepared to speak on that. I don't have it in front of me, and I don't have my glasses.
Wow.
I have three pairs of glasses.
Well, that was real convenient, Chuck.
We didn't have it in a pack of pockets at this point either, so.
That's okay.
We'll report at the next meeting.
Recycling's still open, right?
I didn't hear you.
Recycling's still open, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, all that matters.
So we'll wait till the next meeting to get a report on that. Budget, you don't have anything for us, Sue?
No.
Okay. In planning, we haven't met, so I don't really have anything for that. Did anybody in the public have any other questions for the other departments? Okay. Recycling and Energy Committee.
Al?
Who's speaking on that? Al?
I was told to speak on it, but Russ wanted to bring it up.
Well.
The fact that Deerfield wants to work with the town of Candia to bring some of their recycling into our recycling center. And we'd like to know what the board thinks. There is a lot of information. We've had several meetings on this, and we spent a lot of time discussing it. We've met with the Deerfield committee, but the basic problem is that Deerfield is not where they should be on recycling. They're not even close. They're back where we were when we were on New Boston Road.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So what are they calling? Yeah, what are they calling recycle? Huh?
They're recycling some materials, but very, very poorly set up. The residents don't like it. And Suzanne, that's the head of their committee, contacted, I don't know, did he start with Chuck? She started with Chuck and asked if they could have their residents bring recycling into the Candia Recycling Center. And that's where we started to have discussions on it. And our discussions were very detailed because as Chuck pointed out, we would want to strictly, extremely strictly, limit them. They can only bring things in that we would make money on.
Yeah.
They would have to have a special sticker. They would pay to have those printed.
Yeah.
They would pay for each resident to have a sticker. And also, there'd be a limited number of residents. This would be a test program to see if it might work. They wouldn't be allowed to bring in anything that costs the town money. Household trash, no way. Any recyclables like glass, we actually pay a little bit to recycle the glass, even though it's way less than landfilling it. So they wouldn't be able to bring glass, so they'd be limited to the items that we make good money on. So we might make a little more money from Deerfield residents. They'd pay for the stickers. This would be a test program. It would just be a trial to see what's going to work. And one thing we hoped would happen with this, Suzanne was extremely impressed with our recycling center. Just blown away by how well it's run, and Chuck does a fabulous job keeping things flowing and keeping things really tied up very nicely. And I think one of the big benefits of this for Deerfield would be that they'd have some of their residents see what real recycling looks like, and maybe they would support moving forward on what we did in 2008, building a recycling center, which has eventually, I don't know if you've seen my sheet on this, but since we opened in 2008, it's paid for itself. So it's now making money for the town through the good recycling that the town has done. And I did put together a rough draft of a sheet with the limitations on it. I don't know if you want to look at it, but...
I just wanted, before you finish up there, I just wanted to ask Chuck. Chuck, what's your first thoughts on this?
I have two real serious thoughts, and the first one is, if it happens, it can't cost Candia anything. Any
labor-wise or anything, labor.
Well,
or anything.
We are there working, so we obviously can't turn our back, so there is a cost, but we're there anyways, whether there is a visitor, let's call them visitors. If there's a visitor there using it, we're there anyways, so more I was thinking like additional costs. As long as it's not costing us money, and as long as it's not adding too great of a burden to the staff, because we'd have to really watch people to make sure
that
they stop at the building, they put in the specific recyclables, and then they drive out.
Right.
It's going to be limited. It's not every day we're open. The idea was to have it just on Wednesdays and Thursdays for these people, which are our slower days. We're obviously busier on the weekends. I'm not against it at all, as long as it's not overburdening the staff, and as long as it's not creating any kind of financial strain. Mm-hmm. Candia taxpayers shouldn't be paying people.
Boyd, go ahead. You got.
Sorry, I just like to know how you're going to avoid inconveniencing Candia residents while somebody from Deerfield sorts through their tin cans and their beer cans to recycle them.
Yell at them. That's going to happen.
The same that you do with Candia residents.
Yell at them and tell them to hurry up. It would be a very limited amount of people. It's not like the town of Deerfield, like all of their residents. The initial would be a very small amount of people we'd open it up to. So with that small amount, I don't think there would be a huge inconvenience to the residents. If we were doing it on the weekends, there would definitely be a problem. That's why we don't want to do it on the weekends. But I don't think that there's going to be so many people that it will cause a problem. And Thursdays are a pretty slow day, resident-wise. And coming up soon, we're going to be open till 7. So I don't think there would be a big impact initially.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm honestly, I'm just guessing at that because it's not going to be a lot of people.
Al, go ahead. Finish up, Al.
If they see... to answer Boyd's question, if they see how we do things, it's separated recyclables, they should do like most of our Candia residents do. Mm-hmm. It comes in pre-sorted.
Yes.
They don't have to spend time. There are no sorting tables. It should come in sorted containers. That's the way you should do it.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Sue.
As far as the number of people, do you do a lottery, or is that up for them, or how are they going to do that?
I got a question, too.
You want me to speak, Al?
Sure.
The idea we had is if the board was open, we're just basically asking tonight if you're open to the idea for us to proceed and come up with a real plan, but the idea was like 50 people or 50 stickers or whatever it is, see how that goes. And if it goes well, maybe increase it to 75 or 100. And if it needs to be a lottery system, we would do it that way. I'm not in Deerfield as much as I used to, so I don't know how people are thinking or feeling.
Well, that's what
I do
think
know
about
there's
Facebook.
A lot of disappointment on the residents' end for what and how they handle their recyclables in Deerfield. So we're only guessing at the amount of people we think we even want to do it.
Okay. Patrick, you got a question.
Is it possible for Deerfield to just have collection bins and bring the stuff over once a week or every other week or something like that? Instead of increasing traffic through.
One of the ideas, we didn't think that's a good idea. We didn't think that, but what the idea we had
was to encourage those residents to have like one person, if there's four or five friends or neighbors or whatever, just have one person go and hit boom, 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 pick it all up. Because it's garbage. I mean, it's not garbage. It's just a recyclable. It's not dealing with the nasty, smelly, stinky stuff. So part of the idea was to encourage them to kind of share, and instead of having five cars come in from the same street, have one person come in or whatever it may be. But we would talk about it and definitely look at all of those options.
I think the plus side of doing it that way is that it becomes measurable. So now they can actually put some numbers out there in their recycling committee to the town and say, listen,
into a bunker, it's not going to get measured.
Well, yeah, but they can, there's got to be a scale that they can weigh things with and say, well, this is what we were able to send to Candia.
We are
at least it gives them some numbers.
We're trying to develop something, and that's definitely something we could absolutely look at and talk about.
Helpful for them.
Right. And helpful for us, too, because we can measure it as well.
Yep.
I remember way back we first talked about building that facility. That conversation came up about being able to take in other towns for money. And
we're not suggesting.
No, I know, but that was part of the conversation, you know, that the facility was going to be able to make money, you know.
And the conversation we've had as a group, too, is this is just a pilot thing, a designated amount of time, 6 months or something. Mm-hmm. And if it goes well, and if it's something that can work,
put an end date on it.
It would be a short-term thing after that anyways. This is not a long-term thing where, you know, even if it went well, it's to just kind of help Deerfield get their act together and give them some time to do whatever they want to do and help those residents that want to recycle. And hopefully we'll be able to, you know, cash in. Just as an example, I just sold our load of number two natural at 78 cents a pound. We have 18,000 pounds. Wow. That was going to be about $14,000 in revenue.
Wow.
So there is some potential for the town of Candia to, you know, benefit from the revenue end of it. Will it be a huge amount? I don't know. Different people, different households of different sizes produce different amounts of recyclables. So it's hard to say, yes, we're going to make X amount more dollars in revenue.
Right.
But certainly if we're taking in more volume, the things we're going to take are things we get paid for. So in theory, we should make more revenue.
I will take this opportunity, Chuck, to thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Because you do an awesome job.
Everybody says that.
Well, thank you. And the staff is a big part of that.
Yes.
Yeah, but you got to have the good leader.
Good guys.
Got to have a good leader. Yeah. And you do an awesome job.
Well, for me, the most important thing to remember is it's not just our salaries that the taxpayers pay for. You guys pay for everything.
Yeah.
Every penny that goes out of there, the taxpayers are the ones supporting it. And we should give people good service because it's costing a lot of money for that service. So.
Well, you guys, all of you down there do, because we've never got a complaint about the service down there.
Thank you very much.
My thought would be, if they're both in agreement of that, to give them the go-ahead to
put a plan together.
Yes, do it.
Because we don't want to put the time in creating something, and you guys are like, heck no, we don't want nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
But it's enabling us to put some more time and really come up with a good plan then present plan to you guys.
And put an end date on it. This is a trial run.
Correct. Here. Yes, there would be a definite end date on it, absolutely.
Yep. It's a great idea.
If this is what they're trying to do is educate their residents, then they won't be able to do anything till next year at this time anyway.
Oh, that's
right. So you kind of have an end date already built into it.
Well, that's why they contacted Chuck, because they're interested in recycling, and
getting going.
It worked so well here that they wanted to, you know, see once what could be done or what have you. But if they come in, if they came in with garbage, no, we're not going to.
No.
What I'm saying is, it isn't what recycling.
Well, that's part of what we're going to, we haven't come up with all the details. We just have some ideas, and we haven't really come up with a good answer to that yet.
Do they have the trash thing figured out? We could take their recycling so they could take our trash.
Swap.
Just a thought, I mean.
And that page I just handed over here, that's an extremely rough draft.
Yep.
That's okay.
Of what we would give them.
Yeah.
They'd have this printed before they could even start anything, and they'd have to follow every letter of that page. Mm-hmm. In order to be able to use the recycling center, or they'd be thrown out of there. But that's just a rough draft, and we're looking for additional ideas. This is going to take a lot more discussion put together, and we will meet again with their committee. I plan on doing a tour of their recycling center and maybe give them some initial ideas. And I assume, Chuck, they want to move ahead with trying to plan something like we have.
Correct.
And try and get that to happen. But that it took us 4 years to go through the process of going from New Boston Road to the new site. It was a long process.
And do you, Chuck, feel that, you'll be able to, with your staff, manage this extra people that are coming in and monitor and make sure they're... Got their stickers and...
On paper and thinking about it, it seems like we should be able to.
Okay.
I think so, yes.
Boy.
There's a statement on your notice here that says, please note that any items not listed above cannot be accepted as there is a cost for other material that the recycling center handles. So if somebody comes in with a load of construction.
No. Negative. Go to Deerfield.
Okay. Can you make it clear that we'll only accept the items that specified here?
Oh, yes.
And forget about anything else.
My idea is those people that get a sticker, I'm going to give it to them, and I am going to go over that and make it perfectly clear. And I like to treat people well and treat people with respect, but we'll be handling Deerfield people a little differently, whereas there's no, it's do it once, you're gone. You're a guest here, and if you can't follow our rules, you know, we don't deal with the residents quite so strongly, but you know, we're gonna be nice and help them out. They have to do it the way we want. And if you're not gonna, then see you later, bye.
But that's gonna be, their recycling people are gonna be educating their program too.
Yeah.
You know, so all this, and I like what you talked about, Pat, was, you know, one person, hey, this month you collect and bring it over. And, you know, so when, you know, and it's being able to let them discuss what their needs are and maybe, you know, well, wait a minute, I want to do, no, this is what you're going to be doing. And if that's what, you know, we're going to be pretty strict in that.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, so, you know, it's they approached us, their recycling committee, approached Chuck, because they liked the way the facility is run, and they said, is there a way that we could do something together? And that's what it's all started about.
Good. I'll make a motion then that we allow this committee to continue with that process.
Yeah. Yeah. Develop a program.
And get back to us at a later date to officially approve it.
I'll second it.
Right. But we have the authority to go and talk to them now and talk about it. Right.
All in favor?
Russ.
Sue.
Brian. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very innovative. Good job.
And thanks to the committee, too. Mm. I know you've been on it, Alpha Alpha.
Oh, he's not allowed to leave.
Yeah, a couple at least. But thank you all
thank
for doing
you.
That.
He's not getting any older either.
No, he doesn't
that's
seem
right.
to be.
Right.
No, it doesn't seem to be.
No.
Okay. New Hampshire Executive Council, John Stevens.
The whole thing. I'll be there.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi.
Good.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Congratulations.
Hi, Susan. Thank
good
you.
Job.
I sit in this room. I remember the last time I was here was with my grandfather, and I think his name was on one of the windows.
Yes.
Then at trial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great man and great town. So what I'm here to listen, and I did read the minutes. I have been updated, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on what I can do to help you all with the highway safety issue.
That's at exit three, right?
What a coincidence.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've had... numerous
if
discussions.
I could just add one more to Steve April. is here, and John O'Neill, who both, John's an engineer, Steve was Sam Mechanical, and also a lot on engineering, and friends of mine, and I want them to help me on this.
Okay. We helped with the campaign, so thank you for everyone who
won. Oh, yeah.
You guys were strong for us.
Good.
Yeah. We knew the numbers, so thank you. Yeah.
Well, John has some history in town here.
Yes, somewhere. He does.
You're Tony's father, correct?
I am. Yeah. Yep.
Don't blame Tony.
Tony is actually my younger clone, I think.
Yeah, I do, too.
He's a lot smaller than you. Have you with Bob for how long? How many years?
For Bob, I didn't work for Bob.
Oh.
I just get all the clothes.
Get you the shirt?
I just get the clothes. No, I used to service Bob's shop there. I ran a food truck for 32 years. So, and I remember you from Bob's too.
Yeah.
And your brother, and your father, and your mother. So, anyways, back to exit 3.
Yeah.
We got deep concerns about that. And so far, we haven't really got anywhere. Were you the one that was in here with the presentation that time?
In March, yes.
March.
Yeah, a year ago.
And he actually showed quite a few different concepts, none of which I think any of us were excited about.
Yeah.
I think we were looking for more of an immediate and less expensive fix that might just help the problem. To me, I think it was engineered totally bad from the beginning. It just creates too many possibilities for accidents there.
But Brian, don't you think if we could put the lights on it?
Absolutely.
Just put the lights on it, on the stop signs. I mean, we're not going to re-engineer that corner or whatever right now, so... If you could put those, they even have solar lights now, but if you could put the lights that are flashing.
They're motion activated. Yeah. When you get a certain distance from them, they start blinking, so it just highlights the stop sign.
Now, we've dove into this a little bit.
Oh, good.
And we understand, because I was expecting this. We didn't even know what intersection, we didn't know what the agenda was, but I thought forward on it, because I know there was another serious accident at that intersection just this summer.
Yeah.
And you've had... I think a fatality or two there as well. Am I right?
I don't think we've had a fatality.
Okay.
We've had some that could have been.
Data and accidents have been increased.
Right.
In that gas station, I know during the summertime, especially with Dean has that event, there's a lot of traffic.
There is a lot of traffic.
But I want to know from DOT, too, and I'm meeting with Commissioner Koss tomorrow to talk about Exit 4, but like, what has the department done to make sure they meet the town's... request here. Have you done any engineering? Have you thought about it? What is the department's thinking?
Yeah, so the quick overview is I came here last March, and that was prompted by another project that we have right down the road from this building.
Yeah.
The two ends of Raymond Road and 27 and 43. So that's in the 10-year plan program. And in a public meeting for that, somebody approached our project manager and said that they had issues with Exit 3. And Chief McGillen had brought that to our attention over the years, and we've looked at it with him. As Chairman Brock says, it was designed, who knows how they came up with that. It's you come off the highway with a directional highway that intersects at right angles, so the four-way intersection has the heavy volume on two adjacent legs. And it's got stop control on three of those legs. So this is one of the probably busier ones, but that kind of alignment happens all over the state. So I came here in March. Coincidentally, that was right after we learned that some other states, namely North Carolina and Delaware, have been having a lot of success with implementing all-way stop control at rural intersections. That was March, and we just started thinking about, I've got 67 locations that we've identified throughout the state that I feel like I'm in a recovery program. Years ago, we said, no way we're going to do an all-way stop, but it would be like a last resort. But now we're finding some of these places that we said that to that might be a good idea. And since last March, we've actually implemented always stop at, I think, 6 locations in the state. And we've got 3 or 4 more towns that have said, yeah, whenever you can get around to it, add it here as well. So we find that, I think the things about the flashing stop signs, once somebody invented those, everybody wants them. And generally, those things would be if there's a stop control that somebody just doesn't see, which probably happens here some, but what we understand, the majority of the concern is that people on Old Candia Road stop and think that the left turners in the other direction are supposed to yield to them, which is the normal always stop control, or the normal four-leg intersection, and then they come into the intersection when somebody's coming around and make a left. So that's not what a flashing light, a flashing stop sign would be meant for. And a lot of the intersections that we've identified are places that we've done that. We've made the stop signs bigger, we put flashing lights on top of them, we put an intersection beacon on top, but then they keep having crashes. So some of these places that we've gone back to and put the all-way stop, we've found that people seem to figure it out. Chester is the closest one to here. I went through that again tonight, not during peak traffic period, I understand. Mm-hmm. But the big concern in Chester was going to be how people on 102 eastbound were going to get up that the big hill in a snowstorm. I can share some of the feedback I got when the notice went out that we're going to make an all-way stop and my name was attached to it. For further information, I got hammered for about a week before we put the extra stop signs in. Hammered for another week after that started. Over the next couple of weeks, up to a month, the negatives started turning to positive. And I talked to the town administrator last week, and she said that the complaints about the intersection have virtually gone away. I think closest to this intersection that we've done the change to is in Dunbarton at Route 13 and 77. Again, Route 13 leaves Concord going west and takes a hard left into Dunbarton at Page's Corner, and Route 77 continues into Ware. And the traffic volumes there are pretty close to what they are at this location. The big problem that we had there was the traffic coming in from Ware wouldn't recognize a stop. We had 48 stop signs, a flashing light. We actually put a strobe in the flashing light to get people's attention. Didn't work. It's in the 10-year plan program now. It'll be, I think, 2029 or 30 time frame to get fixed. But the chief reached out to us last July and asked if there's anything we could do in the interim. And we met with the town and said we could put an all-way stop. Again, same thing. Three of the approaches were stop controlled, and the one coming from Concord was not. So we met with them in July, and within a couple of weeks, we put the extra stop signs in, and the police chief reported back that through the summer, when they're busy time, when they generally have a lot of complaints and concerns, they didn't have any issues with that intersection. So we're learning a lot more about the all-way stop, and we're finding, at least as an interim solution, and I would agree with you that this intersection should be in a different design altogether. 43 should not be a turn-in hard right, should be probably a curve, maybe a roundabout or something to that effect. But to improve the safety, we think the all-way stop is a good solution. And I listened to the audio from the last selectman's meeting, and I got convinced that nobody else in this room thinks that way.
No.
Just because of the work. They're coming from Deerfield. They're coming from Nottingham. And that would back right up to this.
It would be past the gas station.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah, way past.
I don't deny that during short periods of the day, there would be more delay than you have now. But for the other 23 and a half hours, you would have a lot safer intersection. That's what we found in some of the other locations. Chester, a couple weeks after that started, I had somebody send me a picture from the bottom of the hill by the post office of a line of traffic going up to the stop sign. Mm-hmm. But I haven't heard anything since then. That was October. This is February, and a couple snowstorms into the season, and I haven't heard any complaints. So it processes traffic better than you might think. Certainly there would be some delay in the morning for the left turners in there, but I'm confident that it would work. I do believe that it would be a good idea to get something into the 10-year plan to make geometric changes there.
I was going to ask you that question. I want to make sure I understand. The 10-year plan, if you wanted to do a roundabout, mm-hmm. that would have to be in the 10-year plan?
Yes. Yeah, it's like a $4 or $5 million project, so that's not something that we can do operationally.
I asked you two questions about the metrics.
Can you, guys, just state your name?
John O'Neill, civil engineer.
Okay.
Thank you. State of New Hampshire, in general. The chief said there were 10 accidents in 2024. There were 3 accidents in 2023. There were 2 accidents in 2022. There's 2 or 3. Descriptions of eastbound traffic at the Old Candia Road turning movement that doesn't appear to be affected. could that intersection just be staggered back 50 feet with a slip lane so that it's clear cut, eastbound traffic is stopping, westbound is not? Because that's where nobody sees a stop sign, everybody, it's an unclear intersection.
Right.
If it was rounded, I think you alluded to the idea of rounding it. Has that been run in the traffic trip counts to see whether it functions? I know it functions. It's not in a level of service of failure. It's in a level of service of everything is going on here. I counted the turning movements out here, and I think there's 16 turning movements all within a short area of time. It's a lot of confusion for somebody to go out there. At nighttime, especially, if that could be unpacked a little bit more, not necessarily a roundabout. I think there's wetlands to one side, there's ledge on another, quite a big area for tractor trails. It doesn't seem plausible. All-way stop seems workable. Spreading this out a little bit more, having the access points further apart with clear-cut stop here eastbound. Flow through westbound. I mean, all the answers seem to be in here.
Yeah, I'm not following what you're talking about. Setting the old Candia Road, setting the stop bar back.
Accessing the highway westbound, 75 feet further up the road.
By oh, I see.
So right now there's a flow through, and traffic. It's clear cut. There's a stop sign for anybody. You're stopping there.
Yeah.
And if you're getting on the highway, you get on the highway 50, 75 feet further back, or you keep going straight.
Yeah, I see what
you
mean.
Yeah, I don't think then it's clear. The turning movement counts. But
the turning movement is going to answer your problem because people are looking at all this congestion and saying, what is he doing? What is she doing?
Exactly.
What am I doing?
Exactly.
That's the problem here.
So then they stop until they figure it out.
And it's all the eastbound. Every accident I'm seeing is eastbound related. That's in the minutes anyway. I've just seen them in 5 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
In a global picture, that's my question. If you stagger that, does that eliminate the confusion of eastbound, westbound, where all the accidents are occurring? If that's what it is, according to the chief. Or, not the chief, the two or three residents.
No, I think that was the chief from the last meeting, I think.
Well, it was both. It was a resident that were here. They just had an accident. His son.
Right, right. That was one that was...
That's not
I think that was one where the son was... coming from town, going through the intersection, going back to home, and then the other vehicle was coming off the highway.
Correct.
Turning left.
Yeah, they were both 16 years old, so we have to, yeah. New drivers.
There's so much that factors into it, and in their instance, it's really hard to remove emotion from the situation.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, Patrick, but even what John is describing still has to be in the 10-year plan, probably, or not.
Yeah, if you're looking at moving a new right turn outside of the physical intersection now, we can restripe and do some minor geometric work. The closest thing I can think of, Northampton 111 and 151, was a triangle, and we keyed it up.
Yeah.
That we did with our own forces. We can do a couple of those a year. But they're
anything
beyond that tends to be capital program.
All right, can I share something that just from my observation, and I'm not a traffic guy, but one of the issues there is when you're headed eastbound on Old Candia Road, and I understand because of the intersection and the highway, that stop sign is set back off the side of the road further than most stop signs are. So it's not like in someone's sight line. Immediate sight line, like you would coming up to a stop sign. And I understand why it has to be set back. But that's why we said if that one was the motion activated, illuminated, it would catch their eye, their peripheral vision, it would catch their eye.
Yeah.
The other issue there is the sign is probably an 8x16 yellow sign with small black print that says the other direction doesn't stop. You can't read, I can't read it until I'm up on it. So, I mean,
don't tell
it doesn't
help.
Yeah,
I was going to say.
It doesn't help.
Take his license.
And I do have a DOT license. and in the other direction, when you're coming westbound and you want to turn onto the highway, the backside of that eastbound lane stop sign has got a different sign on it that says, you know, you're supposed to turn here. Well, it covers 3/4 of that octagon. If the whole octagon was visible, it might spark somebody to say, oh, my God, there's a stop sign on the other side of this. You can't see that, and that's why I said only a. And then rumble strips. Like somebody mentioned at the last meeting.
Rumble strips to get your attention.
You know, the saw cuts like you have at your at the toll gates.
That would be inexpensive.
You know, it makes a noise. It catches their attention, and so these are all small, very inexpensive improvements that to me would at least. Initially, lessen any accidents, and then we can work on a 5 or 10 year plan.
See, the rumble strips, there's only one other location in the state that's got rumble strips in front of an intersection. That's 153 coming into Route 25 in Effingham. We've had them temporarily in work zones, and we used to have them in the toll plazas. They don't, I think Maine might still have them in the toll plaza.
Yeah, the Hampton one has still got them.
Keene has them when you come down the hill.
Oh, yeah, Peterborough. Peterborough.
But I mean, it's not, to me, that's they're simple, fairly inexpensive fixes that might help.
Right. Put it all together.
What I'm saying is that the intersections that we've got, we keep going back to places that we've done a lot of things like that. The flashing stop signs, a lot of the intersections that we've changed, including Franconia, 116 coming into 18, that was a little bit of a bridge where you'd come over, you wouldn't see the intersection until just as you were coming over the bridge, that had the intersection light on top and the flashing stop signs, but people were still thinking they had the right of way, so there were still crashes there. And the other thing, I know from the last meeting in the audio that I listened to, there was discussion about being a state road and the state should pay for it and things like that. The reality is that if we start putting stop signs up on state roads, everybody wants them. And we certainly can't maintain that or sustain that because we don't really have criteria about where they would go. That's the first thing people want to do when they think there's a crash problem is put up a flashing stop sign, even if it's not people running the stop sign. So we have allowed towns to put that up. Northampton was an example to put those up on state roads through a maintenance agreement just so that we're not in the position of putting them up everywhere.
Well, I mean, you still have the option to say no to people.
Yeah.
I mean, but if the need is there, you can also say, the need is there.
Right.
Let's do it.
But the option to say no to people doesn't work once you set a precedent.
Well, they've been saying no to us.
Yeah.
So can I just ask, I mean, the more important thing what I'm hearing is, if you did at least the start with the illumination and having a different type of stop sign that's well lit, in that area, that's the first thing that you could do. And the state, in that case, the state would pay for that. It's a state road, and there's plenty of money in the highway budget for this small expense for this town. And if I need to talk to the commissioner, I can. We need to at least get started on one solution right now, and then start the plan for a bigger, longer.
Absolutely.
That would be
me,
great.
It's so much common sense. When you're coming down from this side and you can't even see a stop sign, we've got to fix it. It's a highway safety issue. And
if
there's no money in the DOT budget for that, we'll find it in the highway safety grants. I mean, there's dollars there. So let's not talk about the money part. Let's talk about saving lives. And that to me is important. When I saw the data on the accidents, that just made me think we've got to do something before someone gets killed. And so I really like, Susan, what you said, just to get it started on the light.
Something.
Let's see if that at least is a stopgap that can work right now. It's a unique intersection. I know that it's not like every town in the state. And you have the fair, you have all kinds of things going on. You have the car shows in the summer. There's a lot of people working. This town's growing. I mean, that's what I would think. And if the town board feels that that's a solution, I want to bring that to the commissioner.
I definitely don't like the Ford stop signs.
You know, drive something in the road that it rumbled out a number of times before they come to the stop sign. So alerts them, bless them. You know, that's not costly.
Is that a cost? Do you have a machine that just does that?
Of course they do.
We don't. We have to contract that out.
Well, we're still not talking a major rerouting all the traffic, but I think those two. In the last meeting, that's what a lot of people have thought. I don't know if you call them rumble strips for plowing would be a problem, I think.
No, it's not.
No, these are just
not raised.
Okay. They're just saw cuts.
It's cut
saw
in the ground.
The pavement.
It's a little saw that goes down.
And then the traffic going through doesn't have them. So they're going to be moving freely, hopefully. And
you mean the traffic? The transfer, making the rumble strips you're asking for, the ones that go across the road, right?
Right, right, but not, obviously not the group
just
that's
on the
going,
eastbound lane, yeah, on Candia Road.
On Candia Road. And you could even do it at the end of, well,
no, that hasn't been a problem, as she said, so I wouldn't worry about it, because they have to kind of slow down to come around the corner anyway.
Yeah, just where they stop. Going eastbound, I mean, yeah, eastbound on Candia Road.
Yeah.
Just that one place.
And coming off the ramp.
No.
Why? There's no problem. No.
Coming off the ramp, according to my sources, is a big problem. When you're going west, westerly specifically, and you're exiting, you come into a completely atypical scenario where you're at an exit, you're at a hard stop.
Yeah.
On an off-ramp, and a lot of people are blowing through and going completely across. So there's a twofold problem with that exit. Mm-hmm. It's exiting from east to west,
mm-hmm.
in addition to 43 and Candy Road, where normally you would have the right-of-way if you're going straight, which is what we're talking about mostly.
And then there's a south-north.
I think, and I don't think, you know, rumbles or any of that would be applicable to the off-ramp, you know, going westerly, but I think a lit stop sign would go along.
It wouldn't hurt.
I can't tell you how many people have gone through all the way over to the other side.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Any of that would be great.
So those two improvements to signage at those two locations along with rumbles, and I think that we keep the budget down and there's a good chance of bringing some sort of a solution.
Exactly.
We have enough data, we can see how it works after the fact.
Right.
I think that's
Chad, you got something?
Police chief.
Chief Shepard. I just did, like, I did a little traffic study for a week where I put our sign there that it flashes. And I know, and I sat there. I sat down the road over by the DOT building and watched. And it seemed like the flashing sign was getting people's attention, because when they're going eastbound, that's where they'll barrel right through and keep going straight as a car's turning left to get on the highway. And I think that's where the stop sign there and a flasher coming off the highway just to get their head up to look, I think would really work and really help us out for right now.
You're talking coming from west, from east to west.
Yeah, east to west and then south to north when you go across the Old Manchester.
Right. But I don't see a big problem with it when you're going easterly on Route 101 and you're getting off of exit 3.
No, not that.
We're not talking about that.
Yeah, that's
just the straight across one.
You go straight across.
The one that goes south to north.
And I think it's because they're coming off the highway, they get there, they look around, they don't see any cars. I think if that flashing stop sign was there in their face, they'd
It wouldn't hurt, John, if both those were flashing.
How many exit ramps, sir, do we have in the state where two different exit ramps will merge in that configuration, and then, you know, basically emit traffic
go up
from both directions?
Don't do that.
That's a very unique. That's the one of a kind ramp there, where we have a directional ramp that theoretically comes off without any control, and then comes into a shoe off. And then you've got the traditional diamond on the other side.
Yeah.
I can't think of any location that's got something like that.
We're special.
The answer is that's probably the only one.
Somebody before my life, before I was born, which is a long time ago, came up with that.
We'll get
There's
it
a
now.
Lot in this package. There's a lot.
So have we made progress then?
I hope so. That
well, yeah,
great.
If they
that
do some of those
great.
Things, John, it'd be awesome.
Yes.
Right here. So I want the DOT.
That's where
I
was. Yeah.
That would be great. Thank you very much.
What's his name?
This came back
for the
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
Bill Lambert.
I mean, at that last meeting, the residents that were here said, the sooner we do something, it's got to be done.
And your resident input, was it more in terms of exiting, coming from the east to west, or was it more around Candia Road and 43?
It was actually, in this particular case, it was Candia Road and that stop sign coming off the highway.
But they ran the stop
right there.
Sign.
They ran the stop
ran
sign.
It.
And
the people that are going straight were running the stop sign.
Yeah.
Right.
So when
right.
he went to turn. Yeah.
So both those stop signs that
could be illuminated.
Yes.
Yeah, that south and north, illuminate them, and the one that goes west to east, that goes east, that both those. If those were eliminated,
we should have a map
and,
for you. I'm sorry.
And the
we
saw cuts in the pavement, I'm telling you, and I would love to get that sign off the backside of that other,
the
backside of that octagon.
So, Chairman Brock, the three turning movements that you're saying are problematic. I thought it was the west to eastbound on Candia Road.
West to eastbound, yeah.
Westbound on Candia Road is number one.
Yep.
Number two is south to north, proceeding from 101.
Correct.
Eastbound.
To Old Manchester Road.
Exiting, going straight through Manchester Road without stopping.
Correct.
Yes.
And then the third stop sign that's being blown through, I'm not seeing it.
Yeah,
it isn't.
There
isn't three. There's only two.
There's only two.
There's three there now, but there's only two that are a problem.
They're a problem.
Because I made all of those turns.
Yeah, the one that came off of Manchester Road isn't typically a problem because they have to slow down to make that turn anyway.
Okay.
And most everybody that's on that road are locals. They know they've been stopping there for years.
So you think that the Chief Shevlin, perhaps you could shed some light. The majority of the accidents that you've seen in 2024, the movement from west to east, or are they people coming off the highway, speeding and going through? I mean, it looks
west
like a very east. Few trip ends are going up Old Manchester Road.
West to east.
West
they're
east.
Running
east.
That.
So is that
sign.
A local? Is that a Manchester resident?
No,
through
they're
the
local.
Town? Local flowing through, and this intersection is the issue.
So, the bottom line is that it needs to be illuminated, and is that something that Bill, you can raise in your own internally with your folks and see if we can get that going and get back to me and through the commissioner? Or?
Well, I'll talk to the commissioner too. Our policy has been that the red light, that the flashing stop sign is something that we would allow towns to do through a maintenance agreement, just because the request for them would be unmanageable. But if we're going to change from that, that's a commissioner decision.
Okay, and I'll talk to him tomorrow. I think it's, I really believe it's a unique intersection, like you said. This isn't, there's no similar intersection like this.
Yeah.
And it's really a town that is growing much faster than most of the other towns that have anything that's close to this. And there's data on the accidents, too. That's what.
It's not that much different. I mean, out of the 60-something intersections that I've been looking at that could be an all-way stop, almost half of them are the same thing. New Hampshire's got all these rural highways that turn 90 degrees.
Yeah.
Like the one in Dunbarton, they said, is pretty similar traffic. I think it's 8,000 vehicles on Route 13 to the east. And I think this one has 7,000 or 8,000 coming in from Candy into the intersection. So the numbers are pretty close in those two. And the situation's pretty similar.
So if the illuminating issue becomes an issue for DOT, that would only be because you would want to set a precedent, so that would be, you wouldn't be willing to pay for that? You're saying that would be a town expense?
That's what our current,
that's
current
policy
is.
But
we've also seen that...
But you've made exceptions to that.
Temporarily, but one in Northampton that we did because it was imminent, taking the triangle, turning it into a T. So we did it short term.
Yeah,
I think the town that opted to keep the flashing stop sign up after that.
So I guess what I would say to kind of bring this to closure, I'll talk to the commissioner tomorrow. At the end of the day, I think we start with the illumination first.
That would be great.
And then you guys can continue to discuss the different concepts for whatever it's all. What would you call it? All-way stop, but more in the bumps, whatever the bumps are called, the strips.
Rumbles. Severino does them. I know that.
Severino does?
Yeah, it's just saw cuts in the paper. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, but it also, stuff like that may start to get closer to that 10-year plan, and I want to just
make sure it's okay. Yeah.
That, you know, if we're going to, we'll just move forward on that. But it's got to be more of a, you got to have a town involved, I think, and really figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get this first solution. Hopefully, if he doesn't have the funding for it, we'll figure out where else we can get the dollars to do it. I mean, the town, I mean, I don't think the town should have to pay for it.
How much are one of those?
I think the stop signs with the solar panel and all that are up $2,500 apiece.
No, well, wait a minute. Could we use a highway fund?
No.
Let's
not the fund,
work
not
on
his budget. The grant that we get.
Oh, it's on our road.
$13,000.
Okay. Let's work on getting that funded
by the
state.
It's a state road.
It's a safety,
state
a safety issue on
right.
A state road.
Right. We'll all work together.
I mean, let's figure it out first. And if we can hopefully figure it out, we'll come back to you at the next meeting.
Thank
you
so much.
I'll send you a letter if I'm not here.
Thank you.
And I'll let you know how my conversation with the commissioner goes. And I think that having, you know, us all here today.
Yes, thank you all.
Thank you all for coming. That's awesome.
And I'll report back to you.
All right, appreciate it.
Dean said to say hi, John.
Thank you, sir, for coming.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For coming
thank
in.
You all for coming.
Appreciate
in.
Your time.
That's going to happen.
Sorry, I should have said that.
It's going to happen.
In your meeting minutes.
Would you have your sign?
About 2 weeks ago.
Who's John? Yeah, I could have bought a John. Absolutely. I knew him when he was a little whisperer.
Did you?
Yeah.
I
used to go over to...
He's married to Shirley Crumb.
When I used to go over to the one trial, drinking the lodge.
Coffee?
No coffee. Whiskey.
I know what you're going for.
Whoops.
I said hi, okay?
Hey,
I talked to him. So, did he tell you about the fishing trip?
Yes.
I'm the organizer of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I work for Sport Fish Galapagos.
Oh,
so
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
We could have a good time down there.
Yeah.
And your grandson's coming too, right?
Anthony?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a good
yeah.
night.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
Yes. Yeah, they're fishermen. I'm not.
He'll sit in the boat with a bob.
Yeah, he'll watch the.
I'd rather watch paint dry.
Stated by Mr. Brock that he is not a fisherman.
Right. No.
What Chuck, fisherman. Does he have to stay or does he want to?
At 7:37.
I'm here, might as well stay.
Chuck, we really appreciate your presence.
I was going to say, we don't have refreshments. I'm sorry. But
you are awesome. Chuck.
Oh, popcorn. Awesome. There we go.
All right.
Well, I'm happy now.
That was awesome. That was a good meeting.
Very exciting.
Thank you, Chief. I think that supported our cause.
Yeah.
Was there anything under old business? Was that with this one? Or no?
Other business.
Other business. All right. We're already there.
What's this
one? And what is this one again? Refresh my memory. Oh, this is for Carla, right?
Yes.
Excuse me.
It's about the last phase of the roofing.
Mm-hmm. That's separate.
Uh-oh, what about it? Do we want to know?
It's going to be done.
What are we doing?
It's a beautiful thing.
I don't know where it's going. Like,
so what was the difference, the pricing?
I'm too excited about that.
It was, what, $32.50, and then and now it's $72.50? And so was she looking for money?
No, I think the money is in their budget.
Okay. So what did she need
for
us?
Not for the 72. It's not. She doesn't have money, Brian, for 72.
Just the 32.
She has it for 32.
That's what I'm saying. Did she? So is she looking for more money, or what is she looking for? Yeah.
She said she wanted to talk about it. She left it with Melissa.
What are you looking at, Brian?
We don't have it. It's okay. just
I
came
say,
in.
I don't know.
I gave you.
Oh,
I
you gave a copy there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, is this it?
For 21,000.
No, that was already in there. It was what I handed to you
no.
at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
The two.
Oh, wait. Well, maybe I put it under here.
On the bottom. See the bottom right?
Oh, I see.
So is she looking for us to find the money? Is that what she's looking for?
She can't get it
Holy
from her fund?
Like I said, she handed it to Melissa late today, so I didn't get a...
Okay.
She wanted it to be discussed.
Will she come
well,
to the
I'm,
next meeting?
I know, because I'm clueless on it.
Yeah. I don't know.
That would be a
well,
good idea.
I don't understand why it doubled.
Mm.
If she had a, I know she was going to encumber.
Right, but she did.
But, yeah,
only
but she needs, right, but she needs a, she had the contracts at that point.
That's what I thought.
So, I guess maybe
we'll
wait
until she
comes.
What do you guys want to do? You wanted to, I mean, because I'm not familiar with.
No, I'm not either. Should she just come in, Brian?
I would rather she comes in so she can explain it.
Sorry.
Why don't I have that? Oh, it's under the residence. Okay, here we go.
Explanation of anything.
Yeah, the explanation doesn't say where you're going to get the money from. Just
well, she got a bid before. That's what she had. I mean, why are they not honoring it at that point?
That's what I'm
well,
wondering.
That's
than double
that's
it.
That's a good question.
Kind of what we're missing.
Mm.
We're missing
so
too
can
much.
We ask her to come in to the next one instead of wasting our time?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Good.
Okay.
Because I'm not
one.
Comfortable with it.
Yeah. I don't even know what she wants. Okay.
And this was the other one?
That's part of that the other MRI information that was in your folder already. That's the interim pricing that Christian got to me today late for the help in between finding somebody.
Oh, for Tim's position?
Mm-hmm.
So it's $85 an hour?
For
yes.
what? I'll do it for less than that.
Will you?
Yes, I will.
Accurately?
Yes. I'm very good at math. And you wouldn't get a paycheck. No suit for you.
So
So what are we looking at?
Sometimes I say things that I shouldn't.
Just informative, just gathering the information from MRI that Brian asked me to get.
It's going to cost us $85 an hour?
Wait, we can do it for less than that.
It's like our...
Well, they're going to fill in the interim, and a lot of it can be done remotely, so they won't be traveling here. They'll just be doing it online and handling it in a shorter amount of time.
Is this from... Did you call Municipal Association? New Hampshire Municipal?
No.
No, he actually called me and asked me to...
So we should probably check with New Hampshire Municipal? I can't believe they're getting this amount of money per hour.
New Hampshire Municipal has any employees they can...
No, that was poisoning, that to see if they had somebody that would help in the interim for us. And because we have not received any qualified applicants at this point.
For the finance?
Right.
That job's been advertised?
Oh, yeah.
For how long?
2 weeks, at least.
Two, 3 weeks?
Two, 3 weeks.
See, I could have gotten Nicole to do it.
And no qualified applicants?
None of them have municipal experience.
Oh.
Kim went over all of them before she left, and there was none that she was crazy about.
And MRI will give us a temp up there?
Because that's the software that they use, so they're very familiar with it, and that most of it can be done remotely.
Remotely.
In the interim.
That's for payables and receipts?
Well, no, Melissa's handling.
Melissa does payables.
Okay.
Yes.
So this is just municipal accounting.
The bigger.
And Melissa is doing actually some of the accounts, too.
So who's doing payroll?
Melissa.
All right, she can handle payroll?
Yeah,
okay.
She's doing a little bit of the other, but... There's still a lot more to it. Mm-hmm. There's forms and stuff that have to be managed timely and whatnot. Yeah.
We don't have a choice here at some point. We got to get this done.
Yeah, but boy, this is a lot.
You know, at $85 an hour for a temporary employee, they're going to work remotely and be efficient. Mm-hmm. Okay? They're not going to...
And they're just going to be billable hours. It's not going to be an eight-hour day.
That's right.
And Kim outlined very specifically what they needed help with, what they don't need help with.
Did she say how much time it would take or it should take?
I think Kristen put that in the email, what his estimate was, because he saw the outline. So he was just, that was a quick email he sent at the end of the day. He can obviously provide more information. But
16 hours a month.
16 hours
yes.
a month.
This might be an efficient way to fill that position. You don't have any obligation for health insurance. This is not going to be...
No, the benefits are $35,000. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I mean, this might be an efficient way of doing this. It seems like a lot of money, mm-hmm. but you're not going to invest as many hours every month, right. and you're not going to have any overhead that goes with this employee either.
But wait a minute. The 85 is just for payroll.
Yeah,
then you
the
go
other
to
side
the 110.
Is 110.
Yeah, but they'll have to do the payroll.
Right, but then you go to 110.
Correct. But even at that, it's still billable hours.
Mm-hmm. I'll get a more specific
right.
breakdown from him. Like he said, it was a busy Monday, and that was the most he could pull together before the meeting tonight. But
right.
he can definitely provide more information.
All right. If this person is qualified, mm-hmm. capable, work remotely, mm-hmm. it might be the solution, even at $110 an hour.
You'd think
would like to know how much time we're talking about.
That's
16
that's
hours a
do.
Month.
What's that?
He
15?
Wrote 16 hours.
16 a week.
That's what he... No, a month.
That's a month.
16 a month.
At 110.
And then, what's the name, can handle the rest. Melissa can handle
can
the rest.
Payroll.
Melissa can do payroll and accounts
so this
receivable
be a supplemental,
and payable.
So Melissa can do the payroll and accounts payable, mm-hmm. and this person would do the rest for 16 hours a month. Well, that's a bargain.
$1,760 a month.
Yeah, but we're saving some of that.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So.
That's not bad.
Well, we have no choice.
Especially for the
I would continue to
right.
advertise
and that, and that and that would and he would complete this person or whoever it is
so she.
Would complete all the necessary things that Kim has
State.
Outlined.
Exactly.
Okay. All the timely forms and whatnot. Okay.
Don't they also try to help find somebody?
Yes, that's the other paperwork right there that you have about the recruitment process.
Do you
yeah, they will help with recruitment.
Are
so.
We on Indeed?
Yep. No, we are on ZipRecruiter.
We're not on Indeed?
Indeed is way too
No, they're
much.
Too expensive.
That and, like, you get so many hits on there because of different wording. You'll end up with 100 different applicants
that maybe
have nothing to do with what you just posted for. The things that I get pinged for my application is ridiculous.
This doesn't say, wait a minute, this doesn't say 75,000, it says 21,000. Where are we getting the 75,000?
In the bottom corner of the page. That's the difference she needs.
Can you go back to the roof now with the library?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
72. Yeah. So yeah. This was done back in 2023. So, but they don't honor the what's signed back in.
Well, copper's gone up a hell of a lot.
Yeah, but they quoted her.
Is it a precious metal?
Well, it's copper gutters and what have you, so. No.
Okay.
I'm sure there's a reason for it.
So, New Hampshire Municipal doesn't do that at all? They don't have a directory of positions? New Hampshire Municipal, no?
We put an ad with them.
Oh, you did?
But yes. We don't have a way to find somebody to help us.
Yeah, but you did put an ad in?
Yeah,
oh, good.
That was the
first
thing that was done.
Yeah, yes. That's a good idea.
Yep.
I would continue to look. I'd use this person. We don't sign a contract with them, don't think. So I'd use this person and continue to look, and we'll see what happens.
Well, I want to remind this board of that ad that was in the Union Leader about the beginning of the year. The town of Newton was looking to fill that finance director position, and they offered 80,000 a year to start.
I thought it was 90 to start.
Was it 90? Yeah,
it was 90.
Well, 1,800 a month times 12 is a lot less than $90,000.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. So you might have to just kind of fight hard and do it this way. But we can't let that municipal accounting language for be unattended to for 2 or 3 months.
No.
No.
No, okay. Absolutely not.
Can't do that.
But can't we still look?
Mm-hmm. Use whatever you want, but you could find this is a good deal.
We can do that, but I wouldn't just depend on this the rest
of
our life.
Not
next year
it'll
be $200.
Yeah, we're not going to abandon the research and trying to find somebody. No, absolutely not. This is just to get us through the.
Thank you for doing this.
You're welcome. The other thing they also sent too was they were suggesting that it costs $1,000 for an advertising budget and $1,500 to do the total background on a potential individual. That's something else that they will help with. For that, $2,500.
I'm going to start doing books.
You should.
I understand the concept of a background check, but who do we have do a background check on somebody that we'd be getting into financing?
Typically, I don't know of us ever doing it.
Do we do fingerprints for that? They do for teachers.
To be honest with you.
Yeah, we can.
I thought everybody.
Yeah, they might be able to. The police do fingerprinting at least.
We do a police.
You what?
You do a police.
I would think that if you got.
Oh, you do with the police? Yeah, okay.
Good, thank you.
Really shouldn't be a criminal.
Exactly.
All right, so we do it. Okay.
You do those?
I do them personally.
Oh, no.
Not if you
need background checks done. Can they be processed?
The fire department fingerprinting will send that in.
Okay, right. So it gets processed through the PD.
Yeah.
I mean,
when
are you charging us?
When the applicant comes in, they fill out an application and they fill out paperwork. And
oh, that's part of it.
It's just so they get that background check through NCIC. Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
I'm not sitting there going and calling.
Oh, no. No, I understand.
We can do that dirty work.
Lie detector?
We could.
I want to do one of those.
You would fail because it actually your whole thing would say yes because you totally lie. You lie all the time. So yeah, this is true.
Yeah, this is true.
This is true.
I just watched some interesting information on lie detector. I'm not going to get into it.
Does anybody else have anything on the other business? All right. The other thing is the town office will be closed on the 17th for President's Day. Next select board meeting is the 24th. Is there any other public input? Do you have anything else for us, Jeff? No? Mm-hmm. Chuck, you good?
Good, thank you.
And we will be going into a non-public with the chief.
I think we should tell people that the abatements are due March 1st.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to get the word out.
We have said that at all the meetings, but...
And it is posted on the website.
It is, oh, good. And then from there, he looks at all of them, and then he tells us what he thinks?
He'll make suggestions.
So they don't, oh, I told him they had to come in for meetings.
No.
Well, no.
Oh.
No, he'll make a suggestion to us, and we can agree or disagree.
Oh, they don't come in and plead their case?
To him, not to us.
Oh, to him, ooh. I said to us.
And then he'll reevaluate, and then he'll make his suggestion.
They can fill up the paperwork. He looks at it, and then it...
Okay.
And then he gets...
So they can appeal his decision?
Yeah, I don't know why they can.
Okay. So then they can go to the Board of Selectmen, okay.
They're not happy with that decision, yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
Good.
And you took care of Mona, right?
Trying.
Okay. To fill it out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the assessment cards and everything, or Linda got them for me.
All right, if there's nothing else, have a motion to adjourn and go in non-public.
I'll second. Oh, I thought he was making it.
No, I can make it if you like. Sue seconded. All in favor?
Russ.
Sue.
Boyd.
Brian. Thank you.